Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. We gather here today in intent on doing good work. We seek to represent fairly and well those who have given us this task. Help us engage in meaningful discussion, give us clarity and strength to use our best skills and judgment. Please bless this community, residents, businesses, and visitors. And please help us continue doing good work in your name. Amen. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead.
Here.
Councilmember Bracken.
Present.
Councilmember Davis.
Here.
Councilmember Brooks.
Present.
Councilmember Dietz.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Here.
Mayor Gray.
Here.
All are present.
Thank you. Please rise. Pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First, I just want to thank everybody for coming out tonight, and whether you're online or in person, thanks for being here. Not too much for council comments. Hope everybody had a great and safe 4th of July. Gosh, we had the fair and rodeo coming up pretty soon here before our next meeting. Lost Canyon Ranch, we had a great open house gala last weekend. It's an amazing facility out there. It's just incredible. We also have the Stampede coming up, so lots to do in Castle Rock. So hopefully everyone can get out and have a great time. With that, Councilmember Hollingshead.
Yeah, no comment tonight, thanks.
Councilmember Bracken.
Thank you, Mayor. No comment other than happy summer.
Councilmember Davis.
Nothing, thank you.
Councilmember Brooks.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a reminder to everybody, summertime means you got a lot of people out and about enjoying the beautiful Castle Rock weather and enjoying all the things that can be done here in Castle Rock. I certainly am always enthused to, you know, go around the neighborhood and see people out walking their dogs and riding bikes. As motorists, though, we need to make sure that we've got our eyes open. We had a situation here with a little five-year-old that was struck on a bicycle in a roundabout. That's a terrible situation. Pay attention to your surroundings, folks. Pay attention. Secondly, if something happens and you decide to drive off, we'll find you, we'll catch you, and you will be prosecuted. Slow down first, and if something happens, do the right thing next. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Dietz.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I know we got a gentleman that's gonna speak on this, but Thursday the 17th at Lowell Ranch there, just an open house from 4:30 to 6:30, I'm going. I think it's great. It's right around the corner from my house. If you want to support Lowell's Ranch, I know we'll get some more details coming up. Then I'm going to make a motion here, and this has to do with agenda item number 4. It's going to be for the conveyance of Lot 1, Block 2, Crystal Valley Ranch filing. It's the one by Rylett Park. As a council, we can choose to bring it back to a town council meeting September 2nd to decide whether we want to reconvey it again or not. Doesn't mean we have to, but my motion is to bring that back, that again, conveyance of Lot 1, Block 2, Crystal Valley Ranch filing 14 to September 2nd meeting.
Second.
Sure. First from Councilmember Dietz, second from Councilmember Davis. Any further discussion?
No.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken.
Yes.
Councilmember Davis.
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks.
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Yes.
Mayor Gray.
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously.
Thank you. Anything further, Councilmember Dietz?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Nothing tonight. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. First on the agenda, I have a proclamation, 2025-9, for Smart Irrigation Month. Whereas water is a precious and natural resource and essential to the vibrant community, and whereas it is imperative for residents to become educated and understand the importance of conserving water, using water-efficient products, and maintaining practices at work and at home to use water wisely in all daily activities, And whereas Castle Rock residents have reduced their water consumption by more than 20% since 2006, whereas a statewide leader in water conservation, Castle Rock has committed to another 18% reduced water consumption by 2055. Whereas Castle Rock Water continues to work to minimize peak water use, reduce demands on infrastructure by encouraging customers to convert their raw yards to Coloradoscape using drought-tolerant native plants, utilizing drip irrigation, and taking advantage of $3.25 per square foot rebate for removal of high water use turf. And whereas appropriate irrigation technology combined with best practices can significantly improve water use efficiency and reduce runoff while achieving well-maintained green spaces that are important to the community health and well-being. And whereas Castle Rock Water continues to offer water wiser conservation and landscaping classes to support programs and maintain the entire website at crconserve.com devoted to conservation to promote smart watering during peak irrigation months. And whereas July is a peak month for water use for irrigation, conservation, and water efficiency benefits all residents, the environment, and the local economy. Now, therefore, the Town Council of the Town of Castle Rock here does proclaim July 2025 Smart Irrigation Month. Passed, approved, and adopted 15th day of July 2025 by a Town Council of the Town of Castle Rock, Colorado. Thank you very much. Now I have time for unscheduled public appearances. This time is reserved for members of the public to make a presentation to council on items or issues not scheduled on the agenda. As a general practice, the council not discuss or debate these items, nor will council make decisions on these items presented during this time. Rather, they may refer them to staff for follow-up. Comments limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Time is allowed to 30 minutes total. Residents are given the priority in the order they signed up, followed by non-residents representing Castle Rock businesses, then non-residents and the businesses outside of town of Castle Rock as time permits. Council is also accepting public comments written online at crgov.com/councilcomments by 1 p.m. today to be included in the public record. I do have one person signed up. If Randy Mills would approach.
There you go. And I'm an electrician. Hey, I'm here on behalf of CAF. Does everybody know about CAF? Colorado Agricultural Leadership Foundation. I'm a board member and I wanted to extend the invitation personally to you. We're your neighbor. We're 168 acres just to the south of us on the frontage road. On Thursday, as Council Member Dietz pointed out, we just have an open house. We'd love you to come out, check us out from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m., see what we're doing at CAF. So we have, as you may know, in that 168 acres, we have this beautiful ranch facility, a working ranch, where we have kids that are bringing and raising their animals, everything from calves to sheep to pigs to chickens, preparing for this coming fair, right? We allow kids that have an urban setting raise their animals and learn about ranching at CAF. In addition to that, this year we'll probably run through CAF 3,000 elementary kids, maybe 600 adults in that package, teaching them about ranching in Douglas County. We have some big, beautiful barn ideas, and we want to talk to you about it. We want to tell you what we think the vision for the future is for CAF. So we'd be delighted for you to spend 20 minutes, an hour, bring your spouse, bring your neighbor. Just come over and see us. It's this Thursday, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Randy. I have no one else on to speak in unscheduled public comments. If someone would like to speak, please approach the podium, speak in the microphone, and state your name and whether you're a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You have 3 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we'll move on to the town manager's report.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm just going to go through the slides here relatively quickly. We've got some calendar reminders. We do have our budget open house here on July 21st, really just wanting to solicit input from the community as we are deep into our budget preparation process. Again, under town laws, the town manager proposes the budget, but you all decide the budget here later through probably more September, October time period for the 2026 budget. The Centennial Park work is largely completed, so we've got a courtside kickoff here on the 23rd, and then a promotional ceremony for Fire and Rescue Department on the 24th. The August 5th meeting is canceled. If it shows up on your calendar, you can remove it because we're not having a meeting on August the 5th. We are having National Night Out, which is a great opportunity to show our appreciation for the great work from Castle Rock Police and also for them to get an opportunity to interact with the community, and would certainly encourage if council is available to attend that in lieu of the council meeting there on August the 5th. The Youth Initiative, we're happy to host their celebration on the 9th of August. And then our one council meeting in August is on August the 19th. And then we get started on our open houses. And we start with Councilmember Davis up at Cantrell. And we'll be excited then to continue the other open houses and state of the town events here into the, I guess it's into the fall technically. So that'll be great. It's a great opportunity to interact with the community. The next slide. Just got a couple of neighborhood meetings. Scalepe's has finished their east wing. Now they're going to work a little bit on the west side of the Old Stone Church property. And then there is a third and final meeting, neighborhood meeting for the proposed Advent MOB, the medical office building there at Plum Creek Boulevard and Crystal Valley Parkway. And we've probably got just a few other fun things going on. That 80s band, that was the best year of the best decade of music. Then we got on July 19th, Elton John. I think Elton was performing in the 80s and in the 70s and a whole bunch of other years. But this is a tribute band, which means it's not Mr. John himself. sometimes we've had that discussion with citizens, but it is in tribute to him with his music. So it'll be great. Then we've got the Welcome Cattle Drive. Hopefully you're letting Shannon and Erica and others know about your participation in the Cattle Drive parade. That will happen. If hopefully the rain that evening will only be about 5 minutes or so, and we'll keep it going, but it's great. Then we're off to the fair parade Saturday morning, and then the Downtown Merchants Association sponsors the Boots and Brews there on July 26th. So it's a fun community gathering opportunity, all as a prelude to the fair and rodeo that's coming up. We've got a few other items there as well. Somehow disco snuck in, but we're going to do that on August the 1st. Already mentioned National Night Out, and then a couple of other concerts and other parks opportunities as well. And it just continues until it gets too cold to start doing stuff outside, which we're not worried about just quite yet. I'm happy to respond to any questions. I think the other items on my report have been either taken care of. Thank you, Councilmember Dietz, for the earlier motion, and Council for their approval. Kristen did put together a second quarter major project review. Shows we're doing a lot of things. A lot of things are in progress. If you have any questions on that, be sure and let me know. And then Tara came last time to give her verbal report on the project updates. I'm happy to respond to any questions that you may have.
Any questions for David? Seeing none, thank you, David. Town Attorney's report.
Great, thank you. What we have here tonight is a proposed bond issuance from Dawson Trails Metropolitan District Number 1. I believe our friends from Westside, Larry Jacobson, Jake Schroeder in the audience, just in case I deviate, feel free to pop in. But without further ado, here's what we do with these things. This is why we're here. Our municipal code requires that all metro districts have to submit their proposed debt financings to the town for review and comment. There's no motion involved or anything. It's just if there's anything that the council wishes to state with regard to the issuance, this is your opportunity to do so. Now, the submittals typically include information and documents that are related to the proposed financing, identifying the proposed interest rate, financing costs, mill levy amount, and districts must certify that the financing is in compliance with the district service plan. And I think you'll find attached to the agenda all of the documents that the district has submitted in support of this issuance. So just as a reminder, this is a little bit of an old map. It still identifies the districts as Dawson Ridge Metro Districts 1 through 5 and Westfield Metropolitan Districts 1 and 2. They're all now Dawson Trails Metropolitan Districts 1 through 7. And I believe right there in the top area of the Dawson Trails development is the boundaries of District 1 in this map. So the proposal is this. They've been to us before with one issuance, which included a substantial amount of money, $50 million to be precise, for the Crystal Valley Interchange project. Now they're getting ready to do general improvements throughout the development. So they're going to issue what are known as subordinate and limited tax general obligation bonds, subordinate to their first bond issue. The approximate principal amount of the bonds is $66 million. The estimated interest rate is about 9.25%, which shows you where the market is today. And they propose to issue them for a 30-year term. Again, the monies are going to be used to fund public improvements, whether that be roads, utilities, etc., items that are authorized by their service plan. The limits of the plan, there's a debt limit of approximately $1.06 billion of debt. This is a huge development. And that's just a kind of a reminder how large it is. So they will have $854 million of debt cap left. Their maximum interest rate approved in the service plan is 18%, so we're well within that. Maximum maturity is 50 years. Again, we're well within that limit. Their debt service mill levy per the plan is 64.44 mils. That's subject to future assessed valuation adjustments that the state of Colorado makes. And they will not be exceeding this limit. So everything is right in accordance with what we've allowed them to do. They've certified that the issuance is authorized by and in compliance with the service plan. We agree, and I think Trish, has, our finance director, has taken a look, and she's nodding her head, which means I'm not steering anybody wrong, am I? Good. Thank you, Trish. And so we found that everything is in compliance with their service plan. And we recommend that they be allowed to move forward with the bond issuance as proposed without any comment necessary. So if there's anything else, anything that you wish to say, that concludes my report. And I'm sure that Jake and Larry are happy to answer any questions you might have.
Laura Cavey?
So I have a couple questions. I thought when we redid that, the top end was 60 mils, not 64. I mean, I know four is a little bit, but I thought that's what we said.
What I believe the 64.44 represents is the current adjusted mill levy As part of that plan, we included adjustments that the state of Colorado has made to the assessed valuation. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's the current amount per the plan with those adjustments accounted for. Essentially, what happens is when the state adjusts the valuation downwards, an additional levy is required to essentially earn the district what it is entitled to. It doesn't change the amount that the district taxpayers will end up paying. It's just that you need to add to the mill levy to get that equivalent amount when the state makes those adjustments.
Okay, and then just two other questions. You know, coming off of kind of all the stuff we've seen around the Meadows, I'm assuming at some point homeowners would be able to sit on that Metro board. Okay, I'm seeing nods. And then,
yes, indeed, that will happen once they have homeowners in the
right. I know so, right now that there sure, isn't any.
Yeah, the goal with any district is for the developer to step away from those boards, and I think the preference is to have homeowners sit.
And then I'm sure this is a yes, but let's say the interest rates go down, can they be refinanced? All right, I'm getting more nods. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. And that's generally when you have rooftops, that's when you do the refinancing
right.
And you get a much lower rate since you have people paying those taxes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions for Michael or staff or Westside? Seeing none, thank you very much, Michael.
Great, thank you. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Next, we'll move on to the acceptance of the agenda. There are no changes, additions, or deletions to the agenda. A motion to accept the agenda as presented will be accepted.
So. Second.
I have a first by Councilmember Bracken, second by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously.
Thank you. Moving on to the consent calendar, these items are generally routine in nature and have been previously reviewed by the town council and will be voted on in a single motion without discussion. Any member of town council may remove an item from the consent calendar. Number nine, resolution 2025-79, resolution approving a construction contract with Lighthouse Transportation Group LLC for Prairie Hawk Drive and Limelight Avenue traffic signal pole installation project 2025 traffic signal. Number 10, resolution 2025-80, resolution waiving the formal written bidding agreement on the basis of sole source and approving the purchase agreement with Watertronics LLC for the Red Hawk Ridge Golf Course Pump Station Renovation Project. Number 11, resolution 2025-81, resolution consenting the dissolution of the Lanterns Metropolitan District Number 4 and 5. Number 12, resolution 2025-82, resolution approving the First Amendment for the Dawson Trails Boulevard Management Agreement by and between Dawson Trails Metropolitan District Number 1 and the Town of Castle Rock. Number 13, resolution 2025-83, resolution approving the Castle Rock Fire and Rescue Department 2020 through 2024 Community-Driven Strategic Plan 2025 Final Update. Number 14, resolution 2025-84, resolution approving the Town of Castle Rock Fire and Rescue Department Standards Cover 2024 edition. And number 15, minutes 2025-14, minutes July 1st, 2025 Town Council meeting. I'll accept the motion.
So moved.
Second.
I have a first by Councilmember Bracken, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey. Any further discussion? Max Brooks?
I just want to point out that it's just kind of funny that comes up on the number 11, comes up tonight on the calendar after the town manager's report that this is what you want to get to, right? That's a fantastic sight to see dissolution of metro districts.
Oh, yeah, so, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. At some point, it takes a little bit of time, but at some point you get there and you kind of dissolve the whole thing. And, well, I tell you, that's money back in the pockets of homeowners. That's good news.
Absolutely. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Protem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Moving on to quasi-judicial hearings. The following items are due process hearing as required under Colorado law. In order to afford all parties due process under law, town council members must remain fair and impartial deciding whether an application should be approved with conditions, or denied. In making the determination, each council member must consider for the record, which includes planning commission recommendation, staff recommendation, the applicant presentation, public comment presented during the hearing, or other written public comments offered before or during the hearing under law. Town council must evaluate the proposal based solely upon the record and the criteria established under municipal code, which are highlighted in the staff report. It is important that each member of council remain objective and capable of considering information offered during for the record during the hearing. If any council member believes that he or she is incapable of evaluating and voting on the application consistent with these due process requirements, please describe the situation and recuse yourself from further participation. Does any council member have a conflict issue that he or she would like to disclose prior to the proceeding? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, has a public hearing been properly noticed under applicable regulations for these types of land use hearings?
Mayor Gray, yes, it has.
Thank you. Council will also hear from the applicant, public, and staff. Public comments will be taken limited to 4 minutes per speaker. Council is also accepting written comments submitted online at crgov.com/councilcomments by 1 p.m. today to be entered into the record. Number 16, Ordinance 2025-27, Ordinance amending the Town of Castle Rock's Zone District MAC by approving the rezoning of 810 North Wilcox Street. First reading, the 7-Eleven. Tara Vargas.
All right, thank you, Mayor and Council. So tonight is a proposed rezoning for 810 North Wilcox Street. As you can see on the vicinity map, this parcel, it's just under half an acre, and it's located on the north end of downtown along Wilcox, just south of the on and off ramps with Wolfensberger Road. So it really is one of the first properties you see coming into downtown. So I love talking about the history of some of these projects. This lot was platted in 1875 as a part of the Wilcox Addition subdivision. It was zoned to a custom PD called Q Petroleum PD in 1985. This PD allows for the uses you see on your screen, so they include automotive repair, gas stations, convenience stores, parking lots, office, and restaurants. All the properties around it, and I could pop up real fast to the site map. All the other properties on this in the downtown are zone B commercial, so that's the typical B zone, business commercial zone for the majority of downtown. And the downtown overlay district does overlay all of the surrounding properties, except it does not overlay this property. So I wanted to talk about the proposed rezone tonight is to change from the custom Q Petroleum PD to our straight zone category of business commercial, which is in alignment with all the properties around it. On this aerial, this image is looking really from the north as you were becoming into town. So 7-Eleven is located on the left-hand side with the red outline. You can see the gas canopy and the existing store. So again, these were constructed in 1985. The 80s might have been fantastic for their music, but their buildings are a little dated. So the applicant, the property owner, is looking to do a future site development plan amendment. When they came in and did their pre-application with staff, we looked and talked with them about ways to enhance the pedestrian experience, to do their facade improvements with more brick and glass and transparency, and really give it a more modern look, which the property owner is very supportive of. As a part of that, we recognize that the little custom PD zoning on this doesn't have any architectural requirements. It also allows for a use of automotive repair that the town doesn't really want in the future. Town staff doesn't want. That's why it's not allowed in the DOD. To be clear, the applicant is not running an automotive repair business here, nor plan to. But that led to us talking with the applicant about straight zoning it to the business commercial zone. That would allow the downtown overlay district regulations to apply to it, including all the architectural requirements. It does increase the number of future uses that could be on the site, but but it also removes the automotive repair business from it. So that's really the genesis of why we're before you tonight with this request. It makes the whole north end of downtown the same zone district. It does provide for future opportunities for redevelopment. Again, to be clear, the property owner with us tonight is looking to make a small expansion on the side and rear of their building and improve the facade on all sides. So that's really their immediate interest, and town wanted to have the opportunity, town staff, to really apply the DOD materials and look and feel to this area. We did community outreach. There were two different neighborhood meetings that were held. Most of the attendance was a little low. So in the April meeting, there were three. Nobody joined the July meeting. And the questions were really about the look and feel of their future expansion. To be clear, that is a very small square foot footprint, and that would be not something that would go before council. It'd be under the 10,000 square foot threshold, but it would go through the DRB if it's rezoned tonight to the B zone, if that makes sense. So really, that sums up this very small, less than half acre request for a rezone. Staff has reviewed it in regards to all of our regulations and comprehensive master plan. We recommend approval. Planning Commission reviewed this at their last meeting, then they recommend approval of the rezoning by a vote of 6-0. The applicant's consultant, David Goody, is with us tonight, as well as the property owner. They don't have a formal presentation to make because it's a straight zone. It's not a complicated plan development rezoning like we're used to bringing. So I'm happy to answer any questions, and they're here to answer any questions also. And I've got a motion for your consideration.
Any questions before we move on to public comment? Seeing none, I have no one signed to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium and speak in a microphone. Please state your name and whether you're a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You'll have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we'll bring back to town council for a possible motion and discussion.
I move to approve the ordinance as introduced by title.
Second.
I have a first by Councilmember Hollingshead, a second by Councilmember Davis. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to number 17, resolution 2025-85, resolution finding that certain property which is subject to petition of annexation by ACM Dawson Trails, number 8 JV LLC, the town of Castlerock, is eligible for annexation under Article 2, Section 30 of the Colorado Constitution and Sections 31-12-104 and 31-12-105 CRS.
All right. Thank you. So this is the eligibility hearing for several parcels of land proposed to be annexed into the town. As you can see on this vicinity map, this is in the location of the current territorial road, as well as where the Crystal Valley Interchange is under construction. It includes parcels of land that are the existing territorial road in the town's adjacent to the town's jurisdiction, and some other pieces of property that were acquired as a part of the CVI right-of-way planning. So these are all either owned by the town of Castle Rock or owned by the developer of Dawson Trail. So we are co-applicants for this item tonight. Again, as a reminder of the three-step process in Colorado, we have already completed the substantial compliance hearing. At that one, council determined that the petition was accurate and complete. Tonight, we're at step two, which is eligibility. So this is where we have to review the application to the state annexation requirements to determine if the property can be annexed. And then there will be future council meetings where we determine whether the town should annex the property and what the zoning will be. So again, tonight's focus is limited to just step two for eligibility. The Colorado Revised Statute has a host of items that are required to be met to say a property is eligible. I won't read through all of these, but some of the biggest ones are, does it have a contiguity to the town's existing boundary? So more than 1/6 of these parcels are contiguous contiguous with the town's boundary, more than 50% of the landowner signed the petition, so in reality 100% of the landowner signed the petition. That means there's no other elections or other steps needed. We're not expanding the town's boundary by more than 3 miles in any one annexation. So again, staff has reviewed all of these and we are recommending approval before you tonight. We find that it does comply with the state statute requirements and seek your approval on a resolution tonight of eligibility. So I have a motion for your consideration and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Tara. Mark Davis?
Can you go back to the map?
Yes.
So is that road goes to all of those other homes? Is that going to be paved or is that going to stay a road to
the... Right, it'll be redesigned. So as a part of the Crystal Valley interchange, because the it has already been redesigned, the on and off ramps and the landing of the bridge come into this place. These homes that are in the Twin Oaks neighborhood, their main access will come down a new paved road, and then they will have coming up from the south a new entrance into their community. The northern entrance will be limited to a right-in, right-out. All of that has been coordinated with the county, the property owners, and I believe they now have a metro district. So that was all looked at as a part of the initial, well, the rezoning for Dawson Trails, and then as the construction plans have been finalized, they've all been weighing in and tweaking. I think the southern entrance roundabout gate options continue to change a little bit, but those folks will continue to have access to their property during construction, and then after construction they will have paved roads within the town's jurisdiction, and they will remain dirt or gravel in the county's jurisdiction.
Okay, and they had positive feedback from the...
We've had a variety of feedback. We have an approved plan per the county for the connections to those roads.
Nice. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to public. No one signed to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium and speak in a microphone. Please state your name and whether you are a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to town council for a possible motion and discussion.
Just have a comment.
Yep, Councilmember Dietz.
Yeah, I just want to say in addition, that road for the public is going to add massive public safety to county residents over that. These improvements is going to allow our, in the Crystal Valley entrance, just going to allow our police and fire, if police are needed, our fire department to get over there very much quicker. So this is an upgrade all the way. So I move to approve the resolution as introduced by title.
Second.
First by Councilmember Dietz, second by Councilmember Davis. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Advertised public hearing and discussion action items. Public comment will be taken on 4 minutes per speaker. Number 18, Ordinance 2025-28, Ordinance approving supplemental appropriations for the 2025 budget and second amendment to the 2025 budget. Trish Mueller.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening. Good evening, Council. So I am here this evening to present for your consideration the second amendment to the 2025 budget. So why do we do this? This is part of our conservative fiscal management. We adopt a budget back in September of 24, and many things come up, many things happen between now and then, and we need to modify the budget accordingly. The majority of the requests that you see this evening are going to be for parks, public safety, and transportation, and I will highlight some of the larger items here later in the report. The finance department has verified that the funds are available to make these budget amendments and the funds are appropriate to be used for the projects and the initiatives. You'll see this proposed budget amendment increases our revenues by $81.5 million and it increases our expenses by $82.6 million. And that is a large number. However, understand the majority of that is what needs to happen for the issuance of bonds for the Sport Development Center. And I'll get into that in just a minute. This is very common practice for us. We often issue 2 to 3 budget amendments per year, so this is nothing out of the ordinary. If in the remainder of the year we find there is a need to come back to you for additional amendments, additional needs that arise, we will do that in a third budget amendment. So highlighting some of the larger items on here, the first one that you see there is bridge and pavement maintenance program. We had some funds left in the budget from 2024. So what transportation would like to do is roll those funds over to 25 and make use of them in the current year program. So that is $1,871,389. The next item that you see there is a Crowfoot Valley widening project. It's $1.1 million that we're requesting for appropriation. Back in April, I believe it was April of 25, Council was presented with the contract for the construction for the widening of Crowfoot. Now we need to right-size that budget. The contract itself was $6,644,000. We needed to right-size the budget. So that's what that 1.1, not cost override or anything like that. It's just right-sizing our budget. The last item that you see on here really is the majority of the amendment, $76,500. So for accounting purposes, when we issue debt, we have to have the budget of the money coming in and then the budget of the money going out for the construction of the asset. So it seems high, but that is the majority of what you have in front of you this evening. A couple other things related to fire. We had, again, some funds left over from 24, $329,000, and we want to use those in 25 for mitigation as we can. And then finally, the last item that we have here is moving $6 million into the fire capital fund for the construction of Fire Station 156. I'm not saying it's going to cost $6 million. I'm saying that's part of our financing package for that fire station. That is all I have. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions for Treasurer Staff?
Where is Station 156 going to go?
Station 156 is out towards Cobblestone Ranch, Castle Oaks Drive.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yep.
Any further questions for staff? I have no one's time to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium and speak in a microphone. Please state your name and whether you are a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, I'll now bring it back to Town Council for a possible motion and discussion.
Move to approve the ordinance as introduced by title.
Second.
I have a first by Councilmember Brooks, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Number 19 on the agenda, resolution 2025-86, resolution approving the outlets at Castle Rock Retail Infrastructure Assistance Agreement. Dave Corliss and Frank Gray.
Mr. Gray with the EDC has this one.
Oh, thank you. Mayor, Town Council, tonight we're bringing forth a project with our partners at the outlet malls. I'll give a brief overview of the project and then we'll be available for any questions. We also have Patrick Wetland from the outlet malls construction project to here to answer any questions if you have any. First thing is why do we want to do this help with the infrastructure at the outlets? Is number one, the sales tax supports our tax base. It supports community needs for services and goods, attracts shoppers from outside of the community so we can collect those sales tax dollars. And then shopping centers in general, this one has been very, very productive for us and has been around since 1992, producing a significant amount of sales tax so that we can support our police, firemen, and open space. The outlets itself makes up over 10% of the town's retail sales tax collection. It's one of the largest outdoor malls and apparel companies in the U.S. It is the largest mall in outdoor mall in Colorado. And Craig Realty over the years has invested over $50 million of its investment into the Castle Rock project, keeping it relevant and keeping it alive and making sure we don't have a defunct center and that we have a top-ranked center that attracts lots of people to come and shop there, producing significant amounts of retail sales tax for the community. I want to outline a little bit of the project itself. So it's a three-phase project. Phase one is already in motion and is completed. They did it, and they did put 12,000 square feet of new retail into where their food center was there and the food court, and invested over $2 million to make that more retail. And because that's more retail, that's more sales tax for the community as well. And then phase two, which is where they're right now, they're putting in Huntington Bank on a pad site there. Again, this is all at the cost of the outlets. This is not with any town assistance. And the third phase is where they are right now. So due to increasing costs and inflation, we're seeing a lot of the project. This is the third and final piece of their upgrades to the outlets. They're in need of a little bit of a partnership for us to contribute, and they're asking for us to contribute and be good partners in helping them build out their infrastructure. And so with over $50 million that they've put in, we've put together a request to town council to put in two new restaurant pad sites. Those restaurants are unnamed, but we know that those restaurants will, roughly from the baseline information, we're under NDA there. We know that they will do somewhere in the order of about $17 million in sales if they just do their average store sales. That equates to about $600,000 in sales tax to the town. And so we're really excited that we can probably get a return on investment here in probably about two years of operation. It would be the goal. We allow for five in the agreement. And the reason that we allow for five is sometimes there's delays in weather and so on and so forth in the construction process. There's a not to exceed amount on this agreement of $900,000. We are not sharing any of the risk of this project. It is a performance, pay for performance only contract, which means that they have to pay all the fees, they have to do all the work, they have to deliver everything to C of O, and once they deliver all of that, that is when the clock starts ticking. We will help them with permits and fees, estimated at about $550,000. And then we will share sales tax for up to 5 years or until we hit the 900,000. So whichever comes first. Current projections on the numbers that I gave you means that we would probably hit that number in less than 2 years. And so the 5 years is plenty of time for them to hit those numbers if they execute on those pad sites and the restaurants that we've requested. Patrick and I are here to answer any questions that you might have.
Any questions Frank or staff? Thank you, Frank.
Okay.
I have no one else signed up to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium. Speak in the microphone. Please state your name. Whether you are a resident, non-resident, or business owner, you have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we can bring it back to Town Council, Castle Rock, for, Town Council for a possible motion discussion.
There's no...
I approved that resolution. Move to approve.
There you go.
There you go. Thank you.
First by Councilmember Davis, and second by Councilmember Dietz. Any further discussion? I want to say a couple quick things in favor. The outlet mall across the country are failing. And Loveland failed a few years ago. I know the one in Silverthorne is struggling. They're failing all over the country, but this one continues to shine. I think that the ownership has consistently upgraded and put a lot of money into this outlet mall. And I think it's a great and fantastic for our community as well as other communities who shop here from all over the state. So it's just a testament to Steve Craig and his facility and the people who run it. They're doing a fantastic job, and I think they can. I just hope for continued success. Councilman Bracken.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I think the distinction between the projects are the property owners just to the north, the Promenade, are different owners. And they're the ones that put the apartment complex in that tried to attract some restaurants, and they weren't able to do it. And this is an opportunity that they can attract new businesses. I think the support financially is wonderful. And I've said in the past that if something catastrophic happened out at the outlet malls, we would definitely have to revisit the town of Castle Rock structure in terms of being able to pay for employees, for staff, for police and fire, and I think it's to our best interest to continue to support the outlet malls because they certainly support us and have long term. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. With further discussion, roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken.
Yes.
Councilmember Davis.
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks.
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Yes.
Mayor Gray.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Moving on to number 20, resolution 2025-87, resolution approving the First Amendment to be amended and restated intergovernmental agreement between the town of Castle Rock and Douglas County for the Highway 85 wastewater collection and treatment. Mark Marlow.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. What time is it? This feels early, like I have lots of time to present, so this is great. I'll go into a lot of detail. All right. So you guys will remember this. This is a pretty important agreement for us. We signed an agreement with Douglas County last summer to help them with an important project to put sewer infrastructure into Sedalia. And concept, of course, is to put a lift station in Sedalia that would bring that wastewater back to the Plum Creek Water Reclamation Authority and capacity in that plant that we own. The big deal here is that Douglas County is devoting $14 million of American Rescue Plan Act funding for that project. And if it weren't for that investment, this project probably wouldn't occur anytime in the near future. Bottom line is we have to spend that money by the end of 2026. You'll remember from the original agreement, we get a 1% project management fee. We would own and operate the system once it's done. We would be charging a 10% extraterritorial surcharge on all service as well as all system development fees, which would be for the benefit of our existing customers. The rest of the system development fees would go back to the county and then be reinvested in additional expansion and improvements of the sewer system. And then, of course, you guys will remember there's some key customers out in that area that need sewer in order to be able to expand their facilities and continue to serve Douglas County, one of those being, of course, the Core Electric corporate headquarters. So, benefits of the agreement really haven't changed since we talked about this last summer. Bottom line is water quality is an important aspect of this. There's a lot of aging septic tanks up the corridor. Sedalia in particular has a bunch right along the creek in that area. We hope to eventually get rid of those septic systems over time. That won't happen right away. Obviously, we gain some additional economies of scale. We already have the operational capacity to serve sewer. We'd be able to do it down in that area or up in that area as well. One of the key things, of course, is we want to be able to keep reusable water supplies moving through the town system till they're extinct. And that extends the life of our Denver Basin aquifers as well as does that also for that corridor. Of course, the additional revenue from the surcharge is a benefit. It is an important employment corridor, I think, as well for primary employment between here and Denver. And then, of course, one of the big things we're really trying to achieve with this is ensure that new development that occurs in Douglas County has to be served by renewable water supply so that we don't put additional pressure on our Denver Basin aquifer. And this agreement ensures that that will happen. And then, of course, just one other thing here. Really, this is a really important corridor for Castle Rock Water, a bunch of our water rights, a bunch of our infrastructure. is along this corridor. And if we don't provide this service, then someone else probably will. And I think we'd rather be the ones providing this service as opposed to someone else. So, project status. I hate when it does this. I don't know how I did that. But anyways, it makes it more exciting to, you know, page through it. Okay, project status, you guys.
Talking to it works.
It does. You'll notice, you'll remember that we approved a contract with S.J. Lewis to begin this work early 2025. It's a progressive design build, which means we have the contractor and the design engineer working together on this project. We, of course, are moving through 30% design towards 60% design very quickly. We have a good stakeholder group in Sedalia area that's working with us through all of this. We've got Western States on board getting us easements. And the county actually provided some additional funding for our engineer to do a little sewer master plan in Sedalia as well as a part of this. And what we're really doing is moving towards a final guaranteed maximum price contract in September of 2025. So coming up pretty quick. This just shows you where we are, and as we approach 60% design, the lift station site will be just south west of the Sedalia Elementary School area. So they'll be in a prime location to serve Sedalia Elementary School. You can see where Core Electric is relative to that green box. And then, of course, council will remember we also have a commitment to serve the Plum Creek Trust property as a part of our purchase of the Plum Creek Reservoir land. So that's also shown here on the map. So where are we? At 30% design, we got a little bit of news that was not super exciting. The engineer and contractor came back with a 30% estimate that's about $4.8 million over the ARPA funding of $14 million. Bottom line is this is a 30% estimate. There's a lot of contingencies in this number, but one of the challenges with this is we do not want to continue down this road for the next 3 or 4 months without a potential solution if there's a funding gap when we get to September, for a couple of reasons. One, we don't want to delay the project, but two, and perhaps more importantly, that $14 million of ARPA funding does need to be committed and spent. And if we don't have a solution come September and there is a funding gap and the project stops, Douglas County might actually not be able to redirect that funding quickly enough, or they'd be redirecting it towards things that might not make a big impact. So the bottom line is Castle Rock Water is recommending that we look at basically providing what would be essentially a loan up to a maximum amount of $4.84 million out of our wastewater enterprise to cover that potential funding gap. Now, the bottom line is we're going to really be working hard to get that number down, but I don't want to come in here and go, oh, well, yeah, we're going to get it down to $2 million because it could be 4.8. Construction costs, as some of you know, continue to be a real challenge, and this is not unlike many of those. So what Castle Rock Water has proposed as a potential solution is this. We would provide that funding gap coverage, and we would change the agreement with Douglas County such that all of the system development fees collected for the project would go back to Castle Rock Water first and foremost to pay back that loan. So that's different than what's in the agreement currently. In the agreement currently, we get our 10% extraterritorial surcharge. We get the system development fees associated with the wastewater capacity in the plant, and then Douglas County gets those other fees for reinvestment in the sewer infrastructure. We would get all of that until we're paid back. The other thing that we're proposing is a 25% surcharge on the system development fees associated with the amount of money that we loan for this. And you can see in the little table there, if they are able to pay that back in 5 years, we'd bring in almost an additional $400,000 in revenue for the benefit of our existing customers. If it takes 30 years, it'd be closer to $700,000. We would also charge 5% annual interest on any outstanding balance of that, which would roll back into what they have to collect those system development fees to pay back to us for. You can see, again, if you look at the interest revenue, 5 year versus a 30 year. So once the loan is paid back, that 25% surcharge on system development fees would stay in place, so that all of the development that occurs is treated the same in that area. But that 25% would then roll back into improvements in the Sedalia infrastructure over and above once our item has been paid back. And then we would propose all the other aspects of the agreement would stay the same. So just about bottom line, again, where we're at, we're looking at subsurface utility engineering work over the last couple of weeks. We're basically at 60% design for the force main, and they're working towards 60% design for the lift station by September. We are obviously trying to get easements and doing all those other kinds of things. And then, of course, we should have final proposed pricing by September. And we did take this to Castle Rock Water Commission. They did unanimously recommend approval. And staff, I think, is recommending approval. Now, I do want to make clear, Douglas County, the Douglas County Board of County Commissioners has not weighed in on this proposal. What we are seeking to do is provide a solution to a problem and give them an option to ensure we meet this commitment to provide this sewer. I'm happy to answer questions.
Any questions from Mark Marlowe? Councilmember Tim Dietz.
Thank you, Mayor. Just want to make sure I'm clarified on the Castle Rock Water is loaning the money to Douglas County or to the town?
To the project.
To the project.
And ultimately,
the project is paying it back eventually.
Yes. And ultimately, Castle Rock Water owns the infrastructure anyways from the project. But yes, the project, not specifically the county, would be paying Castle Rock Water back.
Trying to do this timely to capture the money from the county.
We are trying to do this timely to ensure that the ARPA funding successfully goes to fund this project. And also to ensure that the county can meet their commitment that they made to get sewer to Sedalia, and also to not leave them in the lurch in September or October and suddenly say, we don't have the money to build the project, and they're trying to figure out what to do with the ARPA funding.
And my last question is, preferable 5 years, 30 years, what's preferable?
You know, it's...
Because to me, that over 30 years, an extra 300 some grand, I'll take it, but it's not a lot with these numbers.
Yeah, you know, preferable would be 5 years. Okay. I think the bottom line is with projects like this, typically what you're going to see is a higher uptake because you're going to provide a service out there that's not there now. And you know, there's a number of development people on the stakeholder group, not just the Plum Creek Trust. There's a couple of others. So I think we're going to see pretty significant uptake. The Plum Creek Trust property alone is planned for 600 homes, which would essentially pay us back. So that one project would essentially get us there.
Mayor Pro Tem Kivi?
I guess I'm still a little unclear on the 25%. I understand it's the project, but who is the project? Meaning, is this going to affect like Sedalia homeowners? Like who's?
So
I guess I don't understand who's paying this back.
Yes, no, great question. So like any sewer that we do in the town, We charge a system development fee to new development. So this is a system development fee on new development, but also on existing commercial. So now it's not on individual homeowner residences. The county is planning to try to work such that, like, the average little house that's trying to get off septic wouldn't end up having to pay that. Now, they would still have to pay our system development fee for treatment capacity, however.
The small homeowner?
Yes, yes. It is part of the connection. Now, we're working on ways to make that feasible, very similar to what we did with Bell Mountain Ranch, for example, where we would add that to their bill over a long period of time such that they could afford to do that.
So that kind of ties into my other question about getting them off septic systems. Is that something, and I'm talking kind of about Sedalia specifically, those are a lot of like small, older homes. Mm-hmm. Would those homeowners have to pay Castle Rock Water something to move off those septic tanks? Is that what you're talking about here in terms of the system development fees? Would they have to like opt in to wanting to use Castle Rock Water, or could they actually stay on their own septic system?
They can stay on their septic system if they so choose.
Okay.
So there's not the agreement does not include a requirement that if the sewer's outside their house, they have to connect. What we would do is offer them the opportunity to connect, especially if they have a failing septic system. And, you know, we still need to work through exactly how we would do this, but it would be similar to something like what we did in Bell Mountain Ranch, where we help offset that system development fee over a long period of time, almost like a loan to that homeowner.
I just worry about some of those small homes and the residents there not being able to afford that.
Well, that's a great point. The other thing that is part of this agreement, as I noted, is that the system development fees that are collected from new development and existing commercial activity rolls back, once we're paid back, rolls back to the county for reinvestment. And the county can invest those funds for those homeowners to pay their system development fee for our treatment capacity as well. So that's another way that we've talked with the county that they could use those funds that roll back in from the system development fees to help those homeowners get connected.
Okay. Oh, Dave.
David.
I appreciate Mark's leadership on this, and I think my comment got answered in the discussion between Mayor Pro Tem and Mr. Marlowe. But I one of the great things I think about this project is very very similar to Mr. Marlowe's leadership at Bell Mountain Ranch. You know, these are our neighbors. We want to be a good neighbor. We're not requiring those residences to hook up to this, but one of the toughest pieces of news for a homeowner that's in a rural setting that's on a septic system is when the septic system fails and there is not a good way to just simply put in a new septic system. Mm-hmm. And that may be very well the case in some of these places. This will provide them the alternative, the more modern professional alternative, a sanitary sewer system that we're managing and then we bring it back. The cost issues, I think the county is cognizant of it. We certainly are as well, but we're not imposing the requirement that residences that are on a septic system have to connect. But we're definitely giving them that option that without this, they really don't have, in most cases, a very good option. I mean, it's difficult when you're particularly on a smaller lot and the septic set fails and there's environmental concerns to just say, oh, well, let's do another septic. I mean, sometimes that's not allowed. Mm-hmm. But this will provide them with that alternative. I don't know if that's helpful, but you did, Mark did make the very strong point, we're not requiring them to hook up.
Right.
But they will then definitely have this option. There are some larger commercial buildings. We've mentioned the elementary school, Core Electric, those things. They're more interested in it. Our commitments on some of the trust property as well. Mm-hmm. So we think there's an opportunity to recoup our investment in this, but we're not trying in any way to impose something on those residences.
No, I appreciate that clarity because, like you said, we want to be a good neighbor. They should have options. And, you know, as we've talked about here, everything's very expensive right now, mm-hmm. right? And so I just want to be sure we're not hurting the little guy. So I appreciate
it. No, absolutely not.
Well, I think a good example is I have a friend who's in Sedalia. Just in the last year, had to do a whole new well for over $20,000. Yeah. You know, for somebody who's not expecting that, that's a big deal. To have the opportunity to tie into Castle Rock Water is really a big deal for those residents. Yeah. Any further questions?
There's nothing out there now.
No, not in the way of sewer. No.
Okay, so everybody out in that community has yes. to be on. Septic.
Everything out there is currently on septic, which is also one of the reasons you haven't seen that develop some significant commercial business, because it's difficult. And the restaurants in Sedalia are very interested in this because, of course, septic systems for restaurants are tricky, difficult, challenging things.
Right. So thank you.
Any further questions for Mark or staff? I have no one signed up to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium, speak in a microphone. Please state your name and whether you're a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we'll now bring it back to town council for discussion and a possible motion.
I move to approve resolution 2025-087 as introduced by title.
Second.
First by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey, second by Councilmember Hollingshead. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken.
Yes.
Councilmember Davis.
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks.
Aye.
Councilmember Deets.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Yes.
Mayor Gray.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Move on to agenda item 2021, ordinance 2025-29, ordinance authorizing the issuance of sale of water and sewer enterprise revenue bonds series 2025 payable solely out of the net pledge revenues to be derived by the operation of the town's water and sewer enterprise, providing other details concerning bonds, including without limitation covenants and agreements and connections therewith, providing matters related thereto. Mark Marlowe.
Thank you again, Mayor and Council. So that went so quick. We've got lots of time still. All right. I'm sorry. Background information. So this is an ordinance looking at a revenue bond issuance. Now, I want to make sure Council understands this is not looking at an 18% interest rate cap like we heard earlier today. Which gave me a little bit of a heart attack. But this is for a potential revenue bond issuance. What we want to do with this is what we call a shelf registration. What we want to do is get approval to look at issuing bonds over the next year. Now, a little background information. In our rate and fees model, we've been looking at bond issuances primarily for our water resources enterprise. That's obviously where we have to spend huge amounts of money in the coming decades. We're targeting in our rates and fees model an issuance in 2025, 2026, and potentially one in 2027, 2028. The 2025, 2026 issuance was looking at about $56 million. Now, last year in our rates and fees model, we modeled that at a 4.9% interest rate. And you'll remember the rates and fees impacts that we presented last year. I'm showing the combined rates and fees impacts here at the bottom of the page that we had last year from our rates and fees model. And I'm also showing the system development fee increases, which are for new development, that we were projecting. So the idea here is to get approval for an ordinance to issue the bonds and hold until we see the right time to do that from both a market standpoint over the next year and as well as a timing standpoint for us in terms of how we're spending money and how quickly we need those funds. Right now, we don't have to have the $55 million or $56 million tomorrow, so we have some time. So the idea here is to use that time to try to put ourselves in the best position to get ourselves the best interest rate for our customers. This ordinance would allow us to approve a bond ordinance and shelve it through August of 2026 and allow us to try to find the right time to go to market to get locked in at an interest rate, hopefully well below the 4.9% that we used in our rates and fees model. Now, what we're proposing in the ordinance is a not to exceed of $56 million for the bonds. It's a 20-year issuance. The total repayment cost wouldn't exceed $95 million under this ordinance. The interest rate would not exceed 4.75%. Now, I had a bit of an argument with the financial folks about this because they wanted us to make that 5.25%. But basically, I told them I want to get something lower than 4.75. And if we don't get it by August of next year, we'll come back to council with a new ordinance and reconsider it. So the idea is to try to get ourselves in a position to get something significantly better than 4.75%, certainly better than 5.25%. Each half percent really accounts for about $4 or $5 million in total repayment costs and about $200,000 to $300,000 in annual debt service. So it's a pretty big deal in terms of our customers. If we can just get a half percent lower, we save money. So that's really what we're trying to do. You can see there's a few other provisions in here. I won't read through all of those because the interest rate and the total repayment costs are the primary things. So what are we gonna fund with these revenue bonds? Basically, everything in our water resources enterprise that we need to do over the next 20, 30 years. We have huge projects coming up. As you know, we have to do a potential desalinization plant for the WISE project. We have to build a pipeline pump station and potential treatment up in the Box Elder area for that Box Elder project. We have the Plum Creek Central Pipeline coming up, which will provide additional capacity of water supply into our Plum Creek Water Purification Facility. We've got the Plum Creek to Ruder Hess Pipeline, which is in final design, and actually this is the final alignment shown in the figure here. We need to build capacity in the Ruder Hess Purification Facility with Parker Water. We have to finish purchasing all of our storage in Chatfield Reservoir. And of course, you guys, last meeting, we just approved a project to move forward with final design on the Plum Creek diversion. These funds could be used for that project as well. Basically, we want to provide maximum flexibility to use these revenue funds for those projects. This shows you what we've currently got in terms of debt. Now, this is what I'd really like is, a 1.92% would be really nice about now, but that's probably wishful thinking. This is where we're at currently in terms of our lending, so, and our outstanding debt. Now, in terms of our outstanding debt, I do want to point out that one of the key performance indicators that we track at Castle Rock Water is how we're performing on our debt ratio. And that's a something that's tracked by most utilities. Bottom line is we participate in the American Water Works Association benchmarking study that looks at utilities across the country, and our current debt ratio is in the top 25%, meaning we've got one of the lowest debt ratios that you'll find of utilities across the country. So that's a good thing and helps indicate that we do have additional borrowing capacity. And I think when you look at our other financial parameters, we definitely have additional borrowing capacity. Schedule for this would be to bring this back for second reading at council August 19th. What this does, so why do this? One of the key reasons for doing this is if we have this on the shelf, essentially we will do a rating call with rating agency, and then we will be ready to go, and we could basically price bonds within 3 weeks. If we have to do two council readings, we add 30 plus days to that time frame, and in this environment, the market could change significantly. So the idea here is to go from 2 months to issue bonds to 3 weeks, so that if things suddenly start to look really good, we go. And that's really the main reason for this. We haven't actually been through Castle Rock Water Commission with this yet. We're going to be going in July, and then so they'll get to weigh in on this before second reading. So I'm happy to answer questions about any of this.
Questions for Mark Marlowe? Thank you, Mark. I have no one's not to speak. If someone wishes to speak, please approach the podium, speak in a microphone. Please state your name and whether you're a resident, non-resident, or business owner. You'll have 4 minutes to speak. Seeing none, we're back to Town Castle Rock Council here for a possible motion and discussion.
Move to approve ordinance 2025-029 as introduced by title.
Second.
First by Max Brooks, second by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead.
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken.
Yes.
Councilmember Davis.
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks.
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey.
Yes.
Mayor Gray.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you, Mark. For those who know, I guessed 7:37. So I'll be doing the preamble, or maybe four score and 7 years ago. Okay. Time is now 7:26. I'll set the motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I have a first by Councilmember Dietz, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Cavey. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Hollingshead?
Yes.
Councilmember Bracken?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brooks?
Aye.
Councilmember Dietz?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Cavey?
Yes.
Mayor Gray?
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously.
Thank you. Thanks to everybody. Have a great few weeks. We'll see you sometime in September.
August.
August. Yeah, everyone take care. We're adjourned.